Father in heaven, we thank again for the services where the Holy Spirit can move in our hearts and move in our midst. Thank you for the songs that have been sung this morning, Lord, and we pray now to open this precious book. Lord, I believe the title of the sermon of the day is very important for our day, and I pray you'd give me the power that's needed. I've spent weeks on this, Lord, and I just ask somehow nothing, deliver now the Word of God becomes so real to our hearts and to be embedded and received in a way to understand our time and look for our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much. Be seated. I'll tell you what, that song, I believe that's better than David playing his harp back in Saul's day. Amen. Look, if you will, I want you to turn, first of all, with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, we're going to be ending up, this is a two-part message, and we're going to be ending up in the book of Judges. And that's the reason for that, because, you know, I believe with all my heart, sometimes you read the scriptures, and you read the scriptures, and you read the scriptures, and it seems like they're just pleasant to read. And then sometimes you go back over some scriptures, and Judges 17 through 25 recently, a few months ago, I began to look at, and it come out in a way to bring me up to date, to understand some things for my day, and what I'm to be looking for to return to the Lord Jesus Christ. And these things that you're going to be seeing this week and next week, and if I have to go the third week, I will, prove to me this book is the Word of God. And the reason for that, it don't beat around the bush about sin. It doesn't beat around the bush when he talks about what's going to happen toward the end of the age. Even in the age of grace, it's going to happen. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. We've seen some bad things happen. We've not seen nothing yet if the Lord don't take us out of here before we get to the end of the age because of apostasy. God has promised that he is going to bring about situation due to spiritual apostasy. And it happens so gradually, we cannot diagnose it at times. But I think if you get here today and next Sunday, and I hope I'm doing it in that length of time, that you see that we're right in the middle of spiritual apostasy. And God has given us examples of Old Testament, what he did. Now, we live in an age today where people say, wait a minute, we're a little bit different because we're more intellectual. We arrive a little more. We have a little more education. You know, we have this. And just give all these adjectives and things that we say about us that makes us think we're not to believe what people believed about God maybe 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years ago. You know what? People change. God never changes. Now, God has a system, and we see the system all the way. And I'm glad we have the full Bible today so we can understand from Genesis to Revelation with God's help and see the routine and parallel things happening. But for the age of grace, it's the church. We know that. But here in 2 Thessalonians, as we begin to read, before we get over to Judges, and I don't know where we get there today, but I promise you we'll next Sunday. And when we get to Judges, you're going to be surprised. I am shocked at what happens when a person leaves God. And I'm not talking about the pagan world. We expect everything from the pagan world. I'm talking about God's people themselves, or at least those who profess to be God's people. In the Old Testament, they were genealogies of Abraham, and therefore when God brought them out of the land of Egypt, he sent them to the promised land. And within 305 years after they left Egypt, they had been so bad that the spiritual apostasy had taken place so bad that because of the judges. And some things happened there that you can't believe. It sounds like some soap opera somewhere, and yet God has documented in his word, and it's so bad. When we get there, you say, man, this can't be. What's the matter? I bet you may have read it before and never dwelled on your heart and mind what God has said, but I want to give us a prelude today when we get there so we'll understand. God gave us the history of that. He didn't just write back there in those days just let us know how those people live for no reason at all. He wrote back there, as he tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, to warn us that the same God was with them as with us, and if he would punish back in that day because of evil, he'll punish in this day because of evil. Now, we got to think in the day that God is so good, he never punishes anybody. But they can't believe the Bible and believe that because you know for a fact God Almighty is a jealous God when it comes to his people. And God is not going to let his people have to be carried through the muck and mire of this world forever. He's going to cease it all one day. And he even said one time that we, the child of God, the world was not even worthy of us. And yet he's going to deliver us one of these days. Well, let's go back and we look in Thessalonians to start with. And I want to look at, and we know this by heart, but I want to let the Bible itself do its preaching for me to begin with now. Because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we want to start in verse 3. Now, my title for this week, this series, is What Leads to Spiritual Apostasy? What is it that leads to spiritual apostasy? Now, the thing about this is that many times we don't even know what it means. You will know as we get through this message. Because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, he said, let no man deceive you by any means. Now, let me bring you up to date. 1 Thessalonians, you'll find that God had been talking about the rapture and talking about God's people being delivered. And he made a statement in chapter 5, verse 5, 9, for God hath not appointed us, speaking to the child of God, to wrath, but unto obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the fact that he said he had not appointed us, and all of a sudden the Thessalonians would begin to feel all kinds of wrath coming from people, just like sometime today. We get it verbally now. We get it from many forms and fashion because we don't agree with what they say about some things to be done in life when it comes to same-sex marriages, when it comes to adultery, when it comes, you know, to the different lifestyles, because it's against what God said in his word. But yet we're told that we're the ones that are wrong and they're right. And so they're in power. And when that is in power, it brings laws to subject us under those laws, which gives us the wrath that comes because of, they say we are the ones called the problem when they're changing what God says, and we're trying to take a stand for that, and they say we're the problem because we won't change with them. Now, this is where the difference between a professed person who says he's saved and someone who knows they're genuine saved. And so he says here, and this time, that God is not appointed wrath. So when he preached these messages, all of a sudden he wrote to the church at Thessalonica. At the time, they began to become worried because they were facing all kinds of wrath. They were facing all kinds of problems and troubles. Were in turn, that was handed to them. They were suffering. And so Paul wrote quickly the second epistle, or second writing to the church at Thessalonica. And he's trying to let them know before we actually get to that final age of we're going to be in, these things are going to happen. So he gives us a generalization here, and then you go to 2 Timothy, and he gives us a more specific way. And we want to look at what he says to us, who's the church now, and then we're going to take that and go back to the book of Judges and tell us, and he'll show us what he did there as an example for our admonition. And you'll see that as we go through. So he goes on, he says, except there come a falling away first. Now, a falling away is what is considered spiritual apostasy. That is, there's a falling away. We know this is talking to the church. He said there's coming a time that there's going to be a massive falling away, and we know that's speaking of the church. And he said, that man of sin is be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped so that he is God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In other words, this is going to be the same person in Isaiah chapter 14 when he decided one day, and that's Lucifer in heaven among the angels before he ever made man, that he's going to rise up and take the throne of God. And God had to put him down. Yet we find at the end of the age of Revelation that Satan's going to be the powerful one come back again, still thinking he can dethrone God by working through and destroying God's people. And here he lets us know that he's going to be revealed at that day. And he opposes and exalted it. Satan's still trying to exalt himself above God and anyone else who follows him. That God is wrong, God's people are wrong, and they're right because they are up to date on things that have been taught by the world rather than by God. Then he said in verse 5, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity is already worked. Now it amazes me. The Bible has a lot of things to say about mystery. If you go back to Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, 10 and 11, you find that Jesus was talking in parables. And the disciples came to him one day and said, Lord, why do you teach us in parables? And Jesus said, it's for you to understand. Parables are given for you to understand the mysteries of God. But the world can't understand them. A parable don't make sense because they can't apply it anywhere. But to you it will make sense because it will reveal to you a simple truth that you can grasp spiritually, even though it's simple in the world that you see with the physical eye. You can identify with that. And so he talks about the mystery of iniquity here. Now there's a lot of mystery in the scripture. Mystery of the church. There's a mystery of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a mystery of heaven. Here's he talking about the mystery of iniquity. What is the mystery of iniquity? Ladies and gentlemen, it sets forth lawlessness. Iniquity is lawlessness. And he says it's coming a time there's a mystery about lawlessness. Well, isn't it amazing today how you see that so many people nowadays break law, get along better than those who keep it? I mean, I guarantee you, there are some people in jail living better than some people out here in the world working. It's sad, but it's that way. But he says there's a mystery of lawlessness. There's come at a time that is a mystery of iniquity, which is a mystery of lawlessness. And the mystery is just simply they hadn't been identified as yet, but it's going to come about, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. And he said, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. Even him who's coming after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and watch, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness to them that perish, because why? Why are they going to perish, and why is God going to destroy them? He said, simply because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. In other words, John 3:16, they refused to receive God's love. What is God? Who is God's love? Jesus Christ. And yet they talk in his name. Now, when I see this, I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy. And Timothy gives a little bit more of sight, insight, if you look down about chapter 3, and we'll read down verse 5, 2 Timothy verse 1 through 7. Now Paul tells Timothy this. This, no, you know these parts, but I'm reading to you again to set a preface to get to where we're going. He said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We've heard this all the time. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. But we're there, they ought to be. Unthankful and holy, without natural affection. What is the natural affection between a man and a woman? Is a man and a woman become together in holy matrimony and produce, like God said, to replenish the earth? Without natural affection is that they have affections other than that which God gave. It's the same person for man to man, a woman to woman. That's not natural affection. And so he's setting forth in natural affection what is right and what is not right. If you understand the scriptures, and we understand that. Truth breakers, false accusers. He says, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Boy, if that's not the age today, this world has so much pleasure. It's not uncommon for people to say, here's something today, I've got to go. I've got to do this with something, I've got to do this, and this has to do because life or children or family or whatever, and this has to do with God, and I'll do this. When you make that decision, you made a choice for pleasure rather than God. Because that's how God looks at it. He puts us together. If it's for him, it's for him. Nothing else, anything else comes out that's real, this is a providential hindrance of God. And so we live that today. Even God's people get caught up in that today, making excuses why we do certain things, because we just simply say we have a reason for it. And so he said, love is a pleasure. It's not that pleasure can't be had at times, because there are times we need to enjoy some things that are right. Amen? But he's talking about when it comes to the end of age, you see more of this. And we have it today simply because of modern-day technology, modern-day transportation, many other things. And he said, notice, they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Why are people this way? They have a form. That is, they have a shape of some kind of godliness, but they're not real. He said, Christian, stay away from that type of person. They'll bring you down rather than you bring them up. Now, there's nothing wrong in going and trying to win someone to the Lord. But he's talking about when you get into that through the end of the age, you will be creatures of gradualism to realize that there's not things been done like they should be done. And when you talk about it with somebody who's involved, they say, well, that's the way it used to be. We're a little different now. God is the same, ladies and gentlemen. He never changes. And he goes on. He said, for this sort, he said, that which deep, and they creep into houses and lead captive city, women laden with sin and led away with divers dust. He said, divers lust. And he said, here's the situation. They're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, last Sunday, I preached a message on God's kingdom is near. And that message was the beginning of studying before I got to this. As I was studying that message, this began to come together and finalize in the last couple of three weeks. And it amazes me what we're seeing. Most of the time, as I said last week, that when you hear someone talking about end of the age, they talk about, you know, Matthew 24. What are you talking about? You know, wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of wind currents and different things and floods and things like that. That's always been talked about. They fail to understand, though, this is going beyond that. This is saying some things you can read your age by if you look through the lens of the Scriptures with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. And here's what's coming to pass at this time. And so now we're seeing that the period that God has given us warning, and this study about Israel in Judges, ladies and gentlemen, is especially frustrating when knowing the facts that this was written for our admonition. God is giving Paul information about apostasy, a falling away first generally, and then about 12 years later to Timothy, goes a little further in detail. The summer of apostasy is simply falling away. It is professed Christian, those who profess that they're Christian, who deliberately reject revealed truth. They talk the talk, but they reject revealed truth. What is the revealed truth? Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. The deity of Jesus Christ, that he's God's in the flesh, is a revealed truth. The fact that Jesus Christ's blood was shed that we might be saved is a revealed truth. The fact that Jesus Christ is the head of the church is revealed truth. The fact that God sets in his word truths about what he is doing inside the family of God. And those people who profess to know him reject that truth. Listen real carefully if you're saved, and you'll see that happen today. I mean a lot. It's happened a lot today. And if you listen carefully, but you don't, if the scripture's not hidden in your heart, you'll not see it, we'll go along with it. Apostasy is different than error when it's concerning the truth. If there's error concerning the truth, ladies and gentlemen, then all you have to do is find the truth to get rid of that ignorance. Because error is a type of error. Just don't know what the truth is. And that's what this book is for. And the same thing when you and I think about heresy. Heresy is like that which is due to the snare of the devil. Heresy is a snare of the devil that tricks us in something. So a snare of the devil or heresy can be changed if you get the right truth. And at the same time, you can see that error can be changed if you have truth. But when you talk about apostasy, they reject truth. Give them all the truth you want and they'll reject it. Why? They're not going to accept it. Their idea of God is entirely different than the idea the scripture gives it in his precious word. And so when I begin to move over now, I go to the book of Judges. Go there with me and turn, if you will, to the last chapter, chapter 25, or 21, verse 25. And here's going to sum up the entire time of Judges in one verse of scripture. Now, I want you to think with me just a minute. It says this, in those days, in the days of the Judges, 305 years since Joshua's day till you get down to where Samuel is the last judge, the 15th judge. There's 15 judges during the time of Judges, 305 years. And they get down, of course, they say this before we get here, but he ends, after he finishes all the, this is what he says. God said to him through the judges, the writer, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, what does it mean? There's no authority. In the days of the judges, there was no authority. You had magistrates, which in turn were trying to handle the affairs, but there was no authority. And he said, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, how did you do that? You say, well, you can't do that now because there's laws. You see, what happens is this. Man does what is right to reject the truth of God. So what happens in our country, it works this way. We have laws that govern us. We have to have laws as a nation to govern us. If not, we'd have more chaos we got now. But what happens is this, Satan has found a way in our country, we call it democracy, to get people in the lower places of government, raise them up into the higher places where the laws themselves are being made. And what you see here is a situation where they found ways to make laws that's against God. And they say, well, you're breaking the law of our nation. And so what is happening, ladies and gentlemen, we're having laws made now that forces us to try to accept what God says is evil. And God's people are going to have a problem with that. And God's going to prove who the true professions are, who the true people say, not just professing something and then reject truth. Because truth must stand. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No way to God except through him. And so as I look at this, now I want you to notice we're going to be looking, reading a lot in the scriptures because the scriptures are the best place to preach. But if you go back with me in Genesis chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, when God gave the law on Mount Sinai, from Exodus chapter 20 to the end of Joshua is about 65 years. Joshua was a leader given after Moses. Now here's the thing. After Joshua passed off the scene, we have the judges. From Exodus 20 to the end of the judges, there is about 370 years. And since Joshua had 65 years of over Israel, then the judges had about 305 years that was these 15 judges raised up and was over the nation making decisions about between people and trying to, you know, have somewhat of a decent life living among each other. And so here, Samuel, of course, was the 15th judge. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 15, we'll see that. So the study about Israel is especially frustrating when knowing the facts that was written for admonition. Now, before I read that, and you see what it said there, but I want to read to you what Paul tells us to be doing as we look at the Old Testament. In chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, down about verse 6, here's what Paul says. He said, now these things are written. Now, he's talking about Israel in the wilderness here to the church at Corinth. And he's telling about what happened there in the wilderness and so forth and how God dealt with Israel and about the rock Moses struck was really our typical and symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and now in verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as is written. The people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. Now, this is 1,550 years after Moses' day. And here Paul, in grace, has been saved by God's grace, is writing to the church at Corinth. And he brings up this Old Testament example to look at and say, God gave those down in those years for you. Wait a minute, we thought it's Israel writing the history of Israel. He said he wrote that history for you so you can understand how God deals with people who breaks and goes against him. And then he goes on and said in verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for example. What? All these things you read in the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, and certainly here in the book of Judges also. These things are things that happen to them for examples that are written for our admonition. Who's that? The church here at Corinth. So it would be ours today. It's as much ours today 2,000 years later as it was in the day when God gave it to be written and written to the church at Corinth. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are to come. He said, God has given us insight. Not only has he told us about since there's one thing we're falling away and how it's going to happen, the man of sin is going to appear. And what he's going to do, 2 Timothy, he tells us how this would, the analysis of situation in the last days of people that are living there, what's going to be going on. And yet, you'd be surprised. When you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through about 10, and read that, I guarantee you sometimes you say, well, wait a minute, I don't see that here. But I'll tell you this, you get in the book and you follow the Lord, and you follow his teaching, and you find you see it so much. God has not left us ignorant about the end of the age, folks. We've used wars and rumors for so long that just helped us so it didn't happen. As I told you last week, talk about the rapture of the church. Peter says, scoffers are going to come and laugh and say, where is this coming? Been 2,000, all these years he hadn't come back as of yet. Well, he's coming back. He's coming back. And same thing here. Well, all this had happened. This is just, you're just trying to scare people to death. God is not trying to scare anybody. God is trying to let us know he's God and he's in charge. That's all he's doing. He's in charge. We have a choice. We can trust him or we can deny him. We can even act like we have him, or we find ourselves not really having him and reject all the truth. By the way, if you're truly saved, you're going to accept the truth of God because the Holy Spirit is going to help you see. That helps you read the times to know the age we're living in and what is important. If I could say right now, folks, and I said I love, if I could say right now, I could stand here today and predict every last one of you when you're going to die. I guarantee you, if you knew and felt that I could tell the truth, the very exact day and hour you were going to die, things would be different when you got close to that time. You say, preach, can't do that. That's right. Thank God I can. I'd be worried about you myself. But God says there's an appointment already made. I can deny that all I want to, but then you go to Hebrews, he says, there's an appointment already been made. It's been made by God himself. He knows when that appointment is. It's appointed that the man wants to die. Therefore, he's not going to tell us when or how, but there's an appointment. And therefore, every day should be where we should expect either to leave this earth or for him to come and get us. We can leave through the exodus of death like so many has in the last few years here, or we can leave all at one time in the rapture. The fact is, though, what he says is true. Now, when I get to look at this, and I see what he says, and I close real fast like, and for the next week pick up the rest of this. Here's a picture of real apostasy when you look at Judges. And the reason for that, every man did everything in his own eyes, because they had no king. They had no authority. And what happens is, when you have a lot of folks, then people band together to rule each other. If you got a lot of people who are anti-God, and maybe they can't rule over those who believe in God, but then you got others who believe, kind of believe like those who anti, then you get laws made to govern us. And when you do that, then that's how you can be put in prison. If someone stands and say, listen, Jesus Christ, the only way of life, I'm sorry if people can't see that. That's a hate crime, and therefore you're put in prison for that. That's what Paul and the apostles and many of the Puritans years ago had to face when they came here, especially when the Puritans and pilgrims came here for freedom of religion. It's a matter of history. It's a matter of what to understand. Folks, listen, don't get so tied up in the times that you forget there is a God. And when you remember there is a God, where are you going to learn about him? Not everyday life, I tell you that. He'll deal sometimes, you don't even understand how he's dealing. Only way you learn about him is this book. This is a historical record inspired about what God is doing in time. And it gives us a record from the beginning until he finishes out in the book of Revelation. And so what's here? Today, God knew that we would live in a nation that would go to the same way that Israel went some 3,500 years ago during the time of the judges. Apostasy is just a general abandon of what one has believed in faith, and also a cause to act, and also principles to govern by. And they come from God through honest studying what God would have us to do as a body of believers. Now, here's the thing, though. The day of the judges became Israel's dark ages. They had just come out and got into the land, and now it's amazing what goes on in this 305 years. This amazes me because, they were only 305 years old, and they came their worst, and you see it in the ranks of life as we look at chapter 17 through 25, gives a summary of what has happened for those 305 years, or an incident of like is happening during that period of time. And so we see here that our nation is only 240 years old. As a matter of fact, our nation is about 65 years less older than Israel was when this was written here in chapter 25, or actually 17, really, because 17 ends it, and then they pick up again from 17 over to chapter 25 and rehearse some things again. So what are you saying? I'm saying, listen, we're seeing on the horizon things that's happened. You're going to see just like it's happened in Israel, and they were God's apple of God's eye. But they let things come in to reject truth. When God speaks, it doesn't have to be changed. It's truth. There's all there is to it. Well, preacher, I don't understand this. Why did he change from Israel to the church? You have to understand history. You have to understand what God's plan is. And he starts out with Adam, the fall. And even for the foundation of the world, he planned all out what would happen to the end. But we come along in time, and he uses us with a free will to accept or reject what he's doing. He's even left us with the word of God. We have more than Israel ever had, because if they heard anything about God, they had to go to the temple and listen to the priests or the prophets. But we have the precious word of God in our hands. And what an amazing thing. So the days of judges became dark days for Israel. It was a time of lawlessness, confusion, idolatry, a moral mess. The judges were barely able to maintain order. When a society rejects God's law, hear this now, folks, they may have laws themselves. But when a society rejects God's law, they develop their own arbitrary rules. And here, there's only three options that they can do. We either do whatever we like or whatever we think works in life for the most. Or we create our own rules so we can justify any kind of behavior we choose. And these that do that, they're proudly declaring, well, I'm just doing it my way. Nothing wrong doing it your way if it's God's way. But if it's not, we will reap the results of doing it our own way one day. And I'm going to be honest with you, we won't like it. We won't like it. We think we will. And anybody come along, did you know what I'm doing right now? A lot of times people balk just as much so as they would Paul if he was doing it. Just as much so Paul had trouble of Timothy or when he was preaching, or even when Peter and John all was preaching. The world was the same way. When you reject revealed truth, then you have no one else to turn to but self. And so he puts us a high level just like Lucifer was. So we either do what we like or whatever works, and then, or the third thing, we just obey God at his word. Now, philosophers have reluctantly admitted that if there is no God, and think about this, and you agree with the philosophers if you believe there is no God. If there is no God, then anything is permissible. I mean, who's going to set the law? Who's going to set the standard? If there is no God, listen to me, if there is no God, now here, this is true. If there is no God, there is no right and wrong. Because who's going to tell us what's right and wrong? Somebody's got to be truthful, hasn't it? Let me ask the question. We're all good people here, I believe. But I'm going to ask this. If this group over here want to tell this group what right and wrong, you'd have to agree with it. Now, you might get together and set up together. If this group here would try to tell this group what's right and wrong, I'm sure there wouldn't be disagreements in it. What's the authority? Why? We're individual authorities for ourselves. Amen? So if we go to each other, we've got to come together cooperatively. We got to sit down and make out what would be the best way to rule us all and come up with a solution that can govern ourselves. Now, if all of our Christians, everyone in here are Christians, we'd come together and we'd certainly have a basis of the Scriptures and we'd govern ourselves according to the least we could around the Word of God. Right? But wait a minute. Let's suppose all these were Christians and everybody else here were not Christians. The odds are if we sat down, they wouldn't have enough to vote us into sense to do what we wanted to do. Don't you see why? God's not going to leave it like that. God's going to say, listen, I make the final remarks. I make the final statements. And I know who I am. I am the creator. You are the creation. And the creation never rules over the creator. You have to submit to him. And this is what helps me in life. And I'm just about through for this day. We either do, again, philosophers, if there's no God, there's no right or wrong. At the time of the judges, Israel was out of control, accountable to no one, they thought. They thought even the system they had that God had given, the Leviticus system, that they had arranged that in a way that God still wanted to be pleased. It was completely out of control, but they were still going through the ritual. And God wanted to be pleased just because they were acknowledging him going through the rituals. And God won't please, and we see what took place. And first of all, they came to one of the king, Samuel, the last judge. And Israel came together. Samuel appointed his two sons judges, and they were wicked. And the people saw that, even they had enough sense to see that. They said, we want a king like everybody. So read, Samuel. You see, we want a king like everybody. And Samuel told them what would happen. God said, tell them what's going to happen if they get a king. They're going to rob you, take your children. They're going to put taxes on you. They're going to do you ways you've never seen before, but they still wanted a king. And so they got a king to start with of their own, Saul, and he gave them all kinds of havoc and trouble. And then God appointed one, David. And, of course, after that, the dynasty went down through the years as his family ruled. So in Israel, God is showing us that when we allow our culture, and I'll close with this thought, and then we're getting in Judges next week. And I'm going to be going from Judges 17 to 25 quickly, paraphrasing different parts of it and reading different parts of it. Because that's the story to show us what God will do and what people will do, even though at the time they think they're where God will have them be. And he goes on. And so God is showing us that when we allow our culture to shape us, that is the culture itself, we make our rules among ourselves, trying to govern ourselves. If we allow our culture to shape us, and you leave God out, we're letting a cancer into our value system that's going to destroy the value system. And that's the reason, ladies and gentlemen, it's sad to say, someone say, oh, you're just a person who tries to, scare people. This system in America is going to fall if they leave God out. I'm going to tell you that. Go through history and look at any history in the past that God had anything to do with. When they left God out, it won't long before they were gone. Israel last 305 years. We've lasted 340 years now. I don't know where to wait, because I tell you, the last 25 to 30 years, at least 50 years in my lifetime, I've seen things change I never thought would happen. If you got an age on you, by the way, young folk, one of these days before long, if you get close to God, you're going to see things happen in the future. The Lord don't come back, you never thought would happen too, because it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. The only thing that will make anything better is to hear the trumpet sound, the voice of God, so we get out of here in a glorified body. Because the tribulation period is coming, and that's going to be the climax of all things. And we're going to see some of that before we get there, but God's going to take us out, because he's not put us to wrath. He's going to take us out before the Lord opens up in the tribulation period. And so in the closes of chapters of Judges, that's 17 through 25, we witness this. Here's what we're going to witness. These people God just been delivered 305 years before, out of the land of Egypt, had Joshua a good ruler, Moses a good ruler as far as leader, and now for 305 years had judges that try to deal with the things that's going on and make right decisions and so forth. And then, of course, it's not long before they are bribed. And, you know, a person got money can do a lot of things like that sometimes, bribed in an evil world. But what happens is this: God is still over the throne. And now when he gets down to this, you see in the closing chapter of the Judges, before they got into the first king, we have witnessed idolatry, theft, murder, sodomy, rape, kidnapping, civil war. Kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? The only thing about it is we hear about it every day. It's way yonder. It don't have to be next door and be, you know, and be a long, long ways off. We have in technology hear about it today. I challenge you this week. Read Judges 17 through 25 for next week. If they don't do something to you, I'm going to tell you, God documents something there that's awful. Why did he do it? Because that's what apostasy would do to good people. Apostasy is simply this. It's a person who professes Christianity but denies and rejects biblical truth. Because the truth corrects us. And therefore, our profession to be something that we're not. And by the way, we may be sincere. I know what it is. 3 years I was sincere. 3 years sitting on church, I was sincere. But I won't say. God gives us insight, folks. And he said, now Israel, in Israel's history, is an example to go back and compare what I did in those days and realize sin a lot of times is in ignorance. If a person don't know, they don't know, and yet they know we're responsible for it. Heresy itself is simply the person may not just know too. But spiritual apostasy is saying, I've heard all about that, but I don't believe it. Now, I know Jesus came, I don't believe it. Or I believe that Jesus is the way of life, but I also believe there's a hundred other different ways just depending where you're at. See, it's truth hath rejection. You didn't hear much of that these days, do you? That's what this Bible's teaching. Apostasy is that which God frowns at and must, because if not, you see, if not, then the whole world is going to become under Lucifer, and then God, he's not just going to back away from it, he's going to destroy it and make it for we can enjoy it one of these days with a new creation of the earth. He's promised that, Peter and the scriptures. So here we are at time as God has given us to be able to be before him in a way that he can use us for his glory in time as we submit. But I can't submit unless I know, and I can't know without this book. And this book must be studied. It must be taught. It must understand. And by the way, I challenge you to go and just look what I've given so far, the first part, and here God will prove the same thing to you. I've been weeks in this thing. Prove the same thing to me. He's showing me, and he's showing us. And it's not only I said perilous times going to come, and I explained those times, but I want you to see on the horizon what perilous times will do. It will bring spiritual apostasy. And that's what happened to Israel. They rejected God's truth, and God had to do what he had to do. The rejection of God's truth today is going to bring the end quicker than any other way. Father in heaven, I thank you again for the word. Help us, Lord, to understand these wonderful truths. Give us enlightenment. It's not to make us super, as I say, Christians, Lord. It's to give us understanding about our time. Lord, I want to understand the time that I'm in, that you allotted for me. What is it my part for the kingdom of God? Help me understand. Help me have the mentality to put together, Lord, what you say in your word so I can look at the procedures and know when I see something on the horizon, it's a promise of God. It don't make me run from you. It makes me draw closer because God is bearing witness with our heart. He said he'd do that with the word of God to see those things that are spiritually given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. Help someone today to see that, Father. Only you know where all of us are at in time. You know every person's life that's here, whether saved or not saved. Dear Lord, if one is saved, living for you, not living for you. You know it all. Nothing's hidden from you. We can't have 90% of our heart cleaned up and then a 10% chamber somewhere or another that where evil's there. and God be pleased. The blood of Christ cleanses from all sin, 1 John teaches us. Thank you for knowing that. And then, Lord, we pray, our hearts will be burdened more for lost people in this world if we see the end approaching, not on the rumors of the past where people quoted over and over, but those things that can be seen in the present to the future, where God has said, and the example how God did it as he dealt with Israel in the Old Testament. Lord, I know in the church, I know we're saved by God's grace. I know without this, you said you never leave us, forsake us. But you want your children, as he told the disciples, teaching with parables, you want your children to know this thing about salvation and not just be professing it. And we ask it, help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.